Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the holiday of Thanksgiving on November 22nd, 2018. We will discuss the importance of gratitude in the process of becoming divine. Listen as Swami explains the role of food in human development and how to keep it in perspective. Like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. Pray on prana and get the best return on your efforts. Nothing delivers like the life force. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and awaken in divine likeness. So Swami, why don't we just get started talking about the importance of gratitude and how does that work in becoming divine?
Yeah, well, I think that's the whole thing of Thanksgiving is the opportunity to be grateful for everything that is being brought before us, for everything that the universe is providing us with. That's what I think Thanksgiving should be all about.
So how do you feel about the fact that sometimes, I think there's a lot of us that may only actually celebrate that once a year?
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving should be something that you want to do on a regular basis. One of the things that we really kind of emphasize here is that you really want to have gratitude for the Creator more than for creation. So you want to have a sense of where things are coming from the invisible, intangible, and not so much the things or the persons, places, situations, and circumstances, as much as the source of everything. That fidelity really wants to be with your primary source, which is spirit.
If we were to give thanks every day for the things that come into our lives, we need to turn that around and think of, well, that's creation, not necessarily things.
Right. That's the Creator revealing itself through us, through form, through the manifested world, through the appearance or what is visible and tangible. But your point of focus, you really want to start to live out from the invisible, intangible more so, because how we think is what we become, and whatever it is that we have our attention on is what will activate that dimension.
So how does having this attitude of gratitude, how does that relate in the process of becoming divine?
This is where I really like to use the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. Spirit, the invisible, the intangible, is the most important thing for supporting life. It is life itself. And for us to have attention for that activates it in our reality. Whereas if our point of focus is on what is being reported in our five sense mind, which is the things that are visible and tangible, or even the things that are invisible but tangible, so It's not just things that have manifested materially, but also thoughts. And a lot of us are preoccupied with our own thoughts. We are activating a dimension of reality that is limited, that it is duality. And as a result, we develop a belief in two powers. And we activate the law of karma. Whereas if we have attention for the presence of spirit, the invisible intangible, then we activate divine law. And divine law is the law of harmony. It's the law of love, the law of life that is absolute goodness. And if you have gratitude for that, you get a much better return than if you have gratitude for the things that that is bringing into your awareness.
Mm-hmm. So in our notes for today's show, we write that there is a physical dimension, a mental dimension, and a spiritual dimension. Is that what you are relating to earlier?
Right. That in Kriya Yoga that we use a three-dimensional reality system, Ida, Pingala, Sushumna, descending prana, ascending prana, and then Sushumna, which is the middle road.
So in the note, it says, whichever we accept as the truth of our being will determine our outcome.
Yeah, that's the like attracts like. Whatever it is that we are attracted to, whatever it is that we resonate to, that is what we will hold in our consciousness, which will then externalize as either duality or divine law, depending on which of those three you have an attraction for.
Mm. So we have that the goal in Kriya Yoga is to accept the spirit body as the sole reality and cause of your being. So what do you mean when you use the word cause?
Yeah, cause and effect. When spirit is cause, spirit, which is the invisible intangible, holds the template for perfect creation. And that's what we refer to as total consciousness. Now, if you are living out from either matter or mind, then you are attracted to or attached to a dimension of reality that is dualistic, and you are now in the finite dimension, and you're under the law of karma.
So your recommendation would be to just start being grateful for what can't be seen, heard, touched, tasted, or smelled.
Right. If it reports in your senses, then it is dualistic. And that's one of the main reasons why in the Bible it says, be still and know that I am God. That the language of spirit is silence, stillness. Spirit is frequency free with regard to any kind of stimulation or activation that would be reporting in our five senses.
I know I'm learning the importance of gratitude to this divine principle, and not necessarily for things or situations, circumstances, people, places, that type of thing, but to be thankful, as you would say, for the allness of spirit revealing itself.
Right. And I think an important thing to understand here is it's not about abstaining from the pleasures and the profits of the physical world here, that it's actually an upgrade, that when you assume or accept your spiritual identity, then that in the Bible is what is written where it says, ask in my name and it shall be given to you. The interpretation that we use of that particular phrase is that my name means my image and my likeness. That if we move beyond the corporeal sense of ourself, and we start to identify with ourselves as spirit, as an eternal spiritual being, that identity then ushers in benefit. And the main benefit is that as spirit, you are whole, you are complete, you are in the finished kingdom of heaven. And so from that perspective, there really isn't anything that you would ever long for or want or anything, because you are now in harmony. You are now residing in the perfection of being. It is when we are outside of that and we are identifying with something that is limited, that is missing, that is fragmented, that is a part from unified state, that is when we are longing, when we feel that something is missing.
So that's an indicator that we're looking in the wrong direction.
Right, or that I have a belief in something other than this concept of God, this indivisible, unified state of being, the perfection of being.
Swami, so how would you recommend that we measure our progress?
Yeah, I think just kind of like what we were saying before, that you want to look and see, do I feel like something is missing in my life? Am I looking for something? Am I lacking? Am I not experiencing this perfection of my being? Do I have good health? Am I happy? Am I out of all of the unnecessary fears? And I want to say unnecessary dependencies that oftentimes we have because we are attached to duality. And then in the framework of making your change, that we have to be very careful that if we are attached to particles, things visible and tangible, that we don't move into things that are invisible but tangible, thoughts, visions, beliefs, concepts, all of this stuff that are also part of the changing conditions of your personal mentality are also dualistic. And so you're looking for something that's invisible and intangible. And that is what makes it difficult to find, because it doesn't report in your mind, in your five-sense mind. You're looking for something that you really can't get a handle on.
I was just reading your notes, and this is really very good. And you write here that your progress is beginning with the spirit of truth. The truth of your being is you are spirit. I think that's so powerful. And then you go on to say, spirit is eternal, unchanging, complete, whole. The spirit has no wants or needs. Spirit only rests in perfect divine unity. I think that is just a very powerful couple of sentences right there.
Yeah, and once we accept that as our identity, then that's where the like attracts like kicks in. And that is where you start to live out from the perfection of being. You start to experience the expression of holiness, and you are now in the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2.
You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, in the summary of the show earlier, I stated that we were going to explain the role of food in human development and how to keep it all in perspective. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, in the hierarchy of needs, food really falls to be number 4 on the list. And a lot of times I think we put that lesser God in a position of importance that it doesn't warrant. And that's what starts to begin a failure force for us with regard to our progress spiritually. That if you keep things in perspective, we can live weeks without food, we can live days without water, we can live minutes without air, but we can only live a millisecond without the life force. And so in the framework of understanding our essential needs, you want to put food in its rightful place, which is our number 4 life-sustaining force. Like we were saying, one of the themes that we constantly harp on is to put God first. That if you want to be successful in life, you use what is it was really essential for you, for your existence, in its position of importance. And a big part of restructuring your value system in that way, I think, can be very helpful as you start to move forward with spiritual progress, because again, we're trying to connect to something that's invisible and intangible and doesn't report in our five sense mind.
Now, when you use that phrase, put God first, is that synonymous with pray on prana?
Yeah, because prana is another word that we use for the presence of the divine, for spirit, for this invisible, intangible source. And when we say pray, we really mean P-R-E-Y. You want to use your relationship with spirit as your sole source of validation. That I'm having a great day because I am in God's grace.
Well, I want to talk to you more about, or get your thoughts on our notes here, about the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah, that was something that came out of Revelation. And the marriage supper of the Lamb, we feast only upon the Word of God, which is exactly what we're talking about here. That the Word of God is the grace of God. It is the most important thing to support life. What's interesting about that is that that is what supports eternal life. That's what supports life that is unchanging. And that life is absolute happiness. The term that we use in Kriya Yoga is ananda, bliss.
So that should be the food, really, that we should be consuming. And that's what we should be thankful for.
Yeah, you want to indulge yourself in that. And what you'll notice is that the more attention that you place upon the presence of this perfection of being, then the more you will start to externalize it, that it will have a huge effect on your reality, because that's what we were talking a little bit about earlier. When spirit is cause, then the effect will be or have its origin in the perfection of being. Most of us today, we try and use things like positive thinking or even the testimony of our senses, that we think things are good because they appear good, rather than really seeing the good in everything.
Swami, we've been doing a lot of talk in our last few shows about divine mind and human mind. How does that relate to what we were just talking about?
Yeah, as you start to get into the whole concept of mind, I think you have to give up the notion that we can become divine with a human mind. Because duality will never become spirit. And I have a quote here from Herb Fitch in Revelations that might fit with this type of understanding that we are trying to uncover. He says in his book on the revelation of Saint John, "Be willing now to move into a place where there are no thoughts at all and no words to express thoughts. There is only this vast silence of being. You'll discover that vast silence of being, devoid of words and thoughts, though it may be uncomfortable at first, is where the substance of life is, reestablishing for you the purpose of God in the midst of you. This is where the Word is being made flesh. Above the words and above the thoughts, the action of the Holy Spirit is taking place there, unhampered by human thinking, unhampered by the world mind."
So we talked about human mind, divine mind, but again, what is world mind?
Yeah, the world mind, see, in reality, there is only one mind, divine mind. There is only one life, spirit. But if you read in the Bible that there is this secondary creation in Genesis 2 that kind of takes place, and what we have now is this reality that is apart from the divine, which has separated, and it is kind of like an imitation, it's a shadow, it's a reflection of the divine mind. And that would be called world mind. Now, oftentimes what happens is that anyone who is born in a human form is really individualized from this world mind. You're the reflection of the divine. But in reality, the only truth of being is divine mind. It's the only true principle of the universe.
So I think I'm understanding that you're saying that divine mind is truth, and we're talking about truth with a capital T, and human mind is error. Now, do you think that there are at times when we could be operating from divine mind, and sometimes we're operating from human mind?
Well, to answer your question, I think that's exactly sometimes what happens. But in Christian Science, it is contrary to attempt to mix truth and error. So you can either be one or the other, but it can't ever be both. As we start to really drill down with this concept of human mind is error, you really start to see that anything that reports in the five sense mind is error. And of course, I think the original way of saying that was they called it a sin, missing the mark, which is an archery term, because we have a belief in something other than this unified state. Anything that reports in the senses is duality, which duality is something that has split from unity, manifested in half and left behind the complementary unmanifested other part. And that's why in Kriya Yoga, we do work with this trinity. Even though the shadow of truth is a false sense of existence, for most of us, it is a reality. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to awaken from the dream state of this false sense of existence. But we want to make sure that we awaken in the truth of our being and the reality that is invisible and intangible.
Mm-hmm. So it seems that we've been talking about Thanksgiving as being quite a departure from what most people in the United States think Thanksgiving is, or how it came from, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians, you know, with the harvest, and they, you know, gave thanks for their fellowship and things like that. So what's the best way for us to celebrate Thanksgiving? Because, you know, people are going to be surrounded by friends and family, and the, you know, everything's going to be centered around food. So how can we still celebrate our culture with Thanksgiving and still have our spiritual understanding at the same time?
Yeah, I think we kind of touched upon that, is that you want to look at everything that is reporting in your five sense mind. Persons, places, things, situations, whatever, as the Creator revealing itself to you as whatever is reporting in your five sense mind. That might give you a good starting point and still keep you anchored in the truth of your own being, that this concept of spirit being one and complete and whole. It's not like I'm a part of that. That is all there is.
I love what you have here in your notes. You say that be happy not because everything is good, but because you see the good in everything. And maybe that's a good jumping off point.
Yeah, because that good should be divine law, the presence of the divine. To see the presence of divine everywhere is really how you start to prove the allness of the presence of the divine. And in proving it, then you start to demonstrate it. You start to externalize all of the benefits that come with this recognition.
You know, what you're always saying is, where I am, God is, or something like that. And you're saying that. So no matter what we look at, no matter what we hear, and again, that's using our five sense, but no matter who you see, what you do, wherever you are, God is.
Right. And then, of course, this whole thing of what we've been talking about is using your five sense mind proper way as an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind, for the presence of this invisible, intangible source.
All right, great. Well, I think this is a good place to close down our show for this morning. So listeners, I'd like to invite you to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there, you can access this show and other Blog Talk Radio shows there. About three-quarters of the way down the homepage, you'll see a section entitled Swami Says Recent Posts. And they'll be there for your continued learning experiences. And be sure to tune in to our Facebook Live episodes that we do every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Swami, do you have any other thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and maybe encourage them to start to turn to the presence of this invisible, intangible source. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.